Now, this week, the Girls' Education in South Sudan program has commenced the 2025 cash transfers to eligible girls and learners with disabilities across the country. Now, the payments, which began on the 22nd of October, aim to support learners in staying in school and also completing their education.
To help us understand how the process works, who qualifies, and what measures are in place to ensure smooth and safe payments, we're joined by Jesse Onion, Senior Program Manager for Essential Services at the British Embassy in Juba, and Tawanda Madhangi, Deputy Team Leader with Guest Program. Now, we'll start with you, Jesse. Could you start by explaining why cash transfers are such an important part of Girls' Education South Sudan Program?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having us. And we're really excited to be here this morning sharing our experience of cash transfers. So cash transfers are direct payments that are given to girls and learners with disabilities in eligible classes. Those learners have to be registered and regularly attending school. And the purpose of cash transfers is to encourage those learners to regularly attend school and progress through primary school and into secondary school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tawanda, can you take us through the 2025 payment process, when it started and how long it will run?
Okay, thank you very much. The payment process started this week on the 22nd, mm-hmm. and it is expected to run up to towards the end of November, depending on the circumstances on the ground. We're aware that once in a while there could be pockets of insecurities in certain locations. Mm-hmm. And also, since it's rainy season, there could also be flooding affecting some locations. So that might be the two stumbling blocks that we could come across, which could possibly delay the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on with the conversation right here. And looking at the British government has supported or have been supporting this program, as you know, since its inspection. What impact have you seen from this cash transfer on girls' education over the years that you have been engaging and working together with the Minister of Education and trying to make sure that this program been maintained and also go directly to the beneficiaries, the girls who have been for their education, continue to be in the school? Yeah, Jesse?
Yeah, thank you. So as the UK government, we've supported girls' education here in South Sudan since 2014. So this programme has been running for many, many years, and we're really grateful to have the support of the Ministry of Education through that. Our data shows that over 1 million girls are enrolled in primary school. That's three times as many as when the JET programme began in 2014. So we've seen the impact of the cash transfers. And now in South Sudan, we have nearly the same number of girls and boys in primary school. So we've really seen a positive change over the years.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the program itself on the ground practically, and the impact of it, just like you mentioned, on the girls that have been staying in the school, how can you express much more about that, the impact of the program practically on the ground on the beneficiaries?
Yes, I think that's really important. We know that the longer that girls are in education, the greater opportunities they have. So the more likely they are to go on into secure employment, possibility for university, stability in their livelihoods. They're likely to have better health outcomes if they go on to become mothers and have children. So we know it creates benefits for girls to maintain their education and to stay in school. But we also know that the cash transfers help them to do that. So many girls use the money from the cash transfers to buy school supplies. That could be books, pens, rucksacks to take their equipment to school. And we know that this makes a big difference in maintaining their education.
Mm-hmm. Looking at some of success stories as you're partnering with the government of South Sudan, particularly the Ministry of Education. Any success stories, and are you satisfied with what you have been providing, and together with the ministry to make sure that this program go according to the way you programmed for it?
Yes, as I said, we've worked very closely with the Ministry of Education for many years. This programme started in 2014, so we have a very good relationship with the ministry here. We really value their cooperation, and I think they see the importance of this programme and they're very supportive of it. In terms of success stories, we have many. I think one comes to mind, which is a beneficiary of Jess. So she received the cash transfers and she progressed through her education, completing her secondary school education. And she now actually works for the Jess team, which is fantastic. So mm-hmm. she is also helping other girls and children with disabilities attend school after she herself was a beneficiary. So that's really one of the success stories that we've seen. And I think she's an amazing example of what this program can do and the positive effects it has.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's a very success story. Now, let me bring in Tawanda and looking at exactly who is eligible to receive the cash transfer this year and how. How was it decided?
Okay, thank you very much. The eligible classes for this year is learners, mostly girls from P7 to senior 4, and also the accelerated program level 4. Mm. And then there's also been, for the second year running, a consideration for boys with disabilities. We started last year on this program. And so for this year, we're also going to also pay boys in the same classes from P7 to senior 4. These are the eligible.
Okay, you mentioned about boys with disabilities. It has been just for like a year now. So how many boys have you supported?
Oh, for last year, off the cuff, we paid close to 2,200 girls and boys with disabilities. So this year, there's going to be an increase because there's been, we have created enough awareness for communities to release learners with disabilities. So they have been attending. So we've also been able to record a huge number of boys so who are going to benefit from the program as well.
Okay. Maybe let me throw this question to Jesse. You've been talking about including boys with disabilities in this program. Why is it important that this year's cash transfers include both of them, both boys and then boys with disabilities and girls?
Yes, thank you. So as Tawanda said, we started including boys last year. Mm-hmm. And the reason we made that decision is because we know that children with disabilities face barriers to going to school. Often their parents or guardians face increased costs. And so we identified this group of children with disabilities, which includes boys, as a particularly vulnerable group that would benefit from the cash transfers. So we decided to introduce the cash as a way to enable them to go to school. And we've seen how successful that was last year and made the decision to continue that this year. So as Tawanda said, over 2,000 boys last year received the cash transfers. This year we expect it to be more. And we see that as a really positive thing in ensuring they have access to education and can progress through the school.
Okay. And let me go back to Tawanda. How much will each validated learner receive, and where are the payments taking place?
Okay, thank you very much for the question. So there are two sort of payment categories. Mm-hmm. So the first priority is on learners that are going to take their examinations, the candidate classes. So we're looking at P8 and we're also looking at Senior 4. Those are going to receive 166,000 SSPs. And then we have across, including the boys that we have mentioned living with disabilities.
That is for each?
Yes, for each learner. Mm-hmm. Right. And then for learners in non-candidate classes, in the eligible classes that I mentioned earlier on, they are going to receive 129,000 SSPs each.
Okay.
So in terms of the payment process, so as Jesse has said, that these cash transfers are paid to learners that have demonstrated that from the time the academic year starts, they are registered in school, they continue to attend their lessons, and they complete the year. So it is a sort of a conditional grant. Mm-hmm. So what happens at the beginning of the year, in February, around February, we give schools, you know, school registers, they record their attendance, and at the same time, we also go there with a mobile app to sort of record who has attended school, who has enrolled. So we come another time, we do what we call validation. Are you still in school? Since the time we came in February. And then when we come, maybe around mid-year, at that time, at the validation time, we give them a sort of what we call a cash transfer enrollment form. You can, a form of a check, so to speak. Mm. Keep this document. When we're arranging the cash transfer, you have to bring this document, because the condition is that it is only the girl who is, after the bank has confirmed that this is the owner of the document, who must receive it.
Okay.
And once she has received the amount based on her class category, she has to put a signature there to say, I'm confirming receipt of this money, and then she puts the date on the CTF. And then a member of school management committee or the head teacher also have to confirm that I acknowledge that she has received her money. Then someone from the PIAM does this. PIAM Education Department also confirms. And then we collect that CTF and enter into our system so that we compare the numbers. If we paid all the girls that are holding CTFs in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing with this CTF is that if the girl loses the document she's having, the document is produced in quadruplets. So she has a copy, the headmaster has a copy, the PIAM has a copy, and then our implementing organization has a copy. So there's no way a learner would leave a school without having received their payment. And of course, the payment has to take place within the school setting. For the reasons of safety and safeguarding,
mm-hmm.
so that when the learners are going back home, they go together as a group.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. And let me bring once again back JC. Now, how do these payments contribute to addressing inequalities in education across South Sudan?
Thank you. I think I said earlier that we've seen a huge change in the number of girls.
Yeah.
So when we started the program, there were far more many boys attending school, and that's why we targeted the cash transfers for girls specifically. And so now with our data, we can see that the numbers of boys and girls in primary school are the same. And this really helps to address gender inequality, because girls are getting the education that they're entitled to. They're being encouraged to stay in school. It's part of their fundamental human rights to go to school and to have a good education. And as Tawanda said, we're supporting those really essential years. So the P8 classes is where we're really focusing on, and S4. So for P8, we want the girls to transition to secondary school and to continue learning and to continue developing, and that will make a difference towards gender equality across the country.
Okay, and finally, Tawanda, if someone witnesses a problem, for example, misuse of funds or threats to safety, how can they report it?
Oh, okay, thank you. So we have two hotlines that run throughout the year, not necessarily during the cash transfer program. So we create awareness around all learners on these two numbers, in terms of if you come across this situation, please call the number. But the beauty of these two numbers is that one of them is a toll-free line, so you don't need any credit to be able to call. So I don't know if you want me to share the numbers or just just to run you through the two numbers.
It's okay.
So we have the MTN number, which is +211 928 520 824. It also has a provision for WhatsApp, so they can send messages. And then the Zain is 0917 647 891.
Okay.
So this one, they don't need any credit. They just
call.
They just call
and, or send a text without.
Yes.
Without,
and then once they call, we create a catalog where we record all the incidences that they have reported to us, because we also have to track them and be able to resolve them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as we are concluding this conversation, Jesse, as British Embassy and as partnering with the Minister of Education on this great program, what's your last message and say about the program?
I think the last message just to say how important cash transfers are for girls and for children with disabilities, how proud we are as a UK government of the impact this has had on children, and it's a really exciting time of year when we get to October, November, and we can see the cash transfers across the whole country going to girls and children with disabilities. So, yeah, it's very exciting, and we're grateful to be here this morning to talk about
Thank you, Jesse. Tawanda?
Thank you. I think it's good to see that our donors are really supporting the education strategy of the government, and also ensuring that all children, irrespective of their ability status, are able to go to school. So we are really excited that also the ministry has been able to embrace the program to allow it to be sustainable, because as we are doing the work, we make sure that in every step that I've mentioned, whether we're doing enrollment, whether we're doing validation and payment, the ministry is part of that process.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, JC, and thank you, Tawanda, for making our time and speaking to our listeners this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you
so much. Have a lovely day.
Yeah,
and of course, JC Onion, Senior Program Manager for Essential Services at the British Embassy in Juba, and Tawanda Modiangi, Deputy Team Leader with the JS Program. Thank you so much. That brings us only to 1 minute to 8:30. We will be going for our news headlines, and then we come back and continue with the program. Good morning.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
Good morning and welcome to Miraya Breakfast Show. Here are our today's top news headlines. Member of Parliament Victor Muho has urged the government to ratify International Labour Organization conventions and strengthen South Sudan's labour laws. Presenting a report from the 113th International Labour Conference in Geneva, Omoho said South Sudan might prioritise ratifying Convention 87 on freedom of association and implement measures to protect workers in hazardous environments.
While a regional IGAD inter-ministerial conference in Nairobi has concluded with a rallying call to equip youth with technical skills and create employment opportunities to many illegal migration to Europe. Deputy Interior Minister Lieutenant General Mangar Bong, a member of the South Sudan delegation that returned to Juba yesterday, said the lack of jobs was identified as one of the main reasons behind the illegal migrations.
Civil society organizations are urging relief actors to strengthen community-based mechanisms to enhance resilience and food security for effective reintegration of returnees. Goreg Grace, a representative of the Special Action for Life Transformation, says Yei River County is hosting a diverse number of returnees, internally displaced persons, and refugees from neighboring Congo and Sudan.
And the Union of Persons with Physical Disabilities has called for affirmative action to promote their participation in public institutions. The chairperson of the union in Central Equatorial State, Semelado Michael, noted that the government has considered quotas for the other groups, such as women and youth, while leaving them out. That was the headlines on Mirai Breakfast Show. Stay tuned for more updates here on Radio Mirai as we go for this short break and we come back and continue. Good morning.
You're listening to Radio Mirai, the voice of peace.